Amen. Good to see everybody this evening. Happy Valentine's Day, I guess is what it is. So, yeah, love you too. Love you too. I hope I'll cut it as your Valentine. So that'll be. If you look under the seat, everybody's got a box of chocolates. No, I'm just kidding. Send Dr. Phil. This is church, okay? Just kidding. Ah. Water's good, right? Got to get it. I think that's my first sip today. That's not good. Let's pray. God, help us. Help us, Lord. We're in need of your guidance in every area of our lives. And Father, there's not one particular area of our life that we want to leave. And sorry, that we don't want to lead without first consulting you on it. We need your mind in everything that we touch. We need access to your solutions to the problems that we face. And Father, above all, we thank you that in the midst of problem solving, in the midst of dealing with just the things of life, I thank you that tonight we can take a long, hard look at the cross and at the finished work of Jesus and enter into our Sabbath rest that isn't a day, but is a person whose name is Jesus Christ. And we enter into that Sabbath rest today. We cease from our labor and we take up your labor. We cease from our striving and our performance and we say that, Lord Jesus, you have made us righteous with God by our simple faith and trust in you. We're so grateful for the ability to enter into a supernatural kind of life. And I pray that tonight, Lord, as we unpack what this means more and more, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and lead us and guide us into all truth. And everybody that loves Jesus said, amen. Well, it's my honor to be with you this evening. If you are here for the very first time, my name is Zach, and I'm the campus pastor here for the Durant location. And I'm so honored to be able to bring the word to you this evening. Love you guys. Thank you very much. We're actually one of 12 different locations, and one of our campuses is online. And this is the church that's been here for 30-plus years. In this community and serving this community. And our senior pastor, you've probably seen or heard of before if you're here tonight, is Pastor Dwayne Sheriff, and he does the majority of the ministering on Sundays. I just spoke this past Sunday because he's been in Colorado at our Woodland Park location, speaking there and ministering there. So I started a series a week ago on Wednesday night called Supernatural Living. And Sunday I did part two, and today I'm going to do part three. What I like is that, and I do encourage you to go back and just a few, I want to take this time to answer a few questions. I've had some people ask where to locate the Wednesday night messages. Raise your hand if you've been wondering where to locate Wednesday night messages. Okay, good. Hey, last time I asked that, only five people raised their hand. So we had about 15. So revival must have broke out between now and last time. But I do get that question multiple ways. I get that question, and I want to let you know that if you're looking for the midweek messages, you need to download the app. All the midweek content is on the app, so you're going to go download the Victory Life Church app, and from there you'll have access to the Wednesday messages here and at our other locations, and I encourage you to avail yourself to that. One other thing I want to let you know about, and this is in regards to social media. Anybody follow the church stuff on Facebook or Instagram or anything like that? Okay. You've probably noticed that there hasn't been a lot of activity on the Facebook page because we've moved into a group. All right. We're in a Facebook group. So, Danny, what's our actual thing? What do they have to type in to get the Facebook group?
VL.church.durant.
So that might be your first note if you're trying to get into the Durant group, vl.church.durant. And Danny, could you stand up just for a second really quick? This is Danny Mackey. She is our, yes, she's awesome. She does an incredible job on all of our social media platforms for us. She is our social media coordinator for the Durant campus. And a lot of our information is now moving to social media and announcements and those kinds of things. We still have the content coming to you in the announcement time, but if you want to connect with more information and stay up to date, sometimes I do some devotional type videos on there. People post testimonies, they request prayer. We moved into a group because it's more of a family feel. That's what this church is about, and we want a platform where anybody can post and ask for prayer. Anybody can post a testimony of something that's going on, pictures, all those kinds of things. So think of it as our family Facebook album / gathering. So you can go on there and take this. Raise your hand if this has been helpful for you, taking the time to do this. Praise God. Very good. I'm wasting precious sermon time on this, so you better be appreciative. I'm just kidding. Awesome. So anyway, you'll see posts on there from Danny. Like I said, she's our social media coordinator for this campus, and she does a phenomenal job. And I want to take a moment not only to honor her, but I also want to honor our leadership team here in Durant. My team that I work with day in and day out, that consists of Gabriella Ferguson now, who has recently gotten married. You guys know Gabe. Mr. Jeff Thompson. Jeff's over here. Jeff, can you raise your hand? Austin Hicks, Jeremy Sheriff, Kylie Goldsmith, and myself. Did I miss anybody? I want to take just a moment, and I want us to honor our campus leadership team that's responsible for leading the campus, maintaining the health. I'm very honored to get to do life with them, and I want to honor also all of our GROW team members, our volunteers that make services possible, that are doing the work of the ministry. Raise your hand if you serve on a GROW team. We're going to honor you. You guys are awesome. Thank you for what you do. You do an incredible job. Any life group leaders in the house tonight? Look at all these life group leaders. We're going to honor you. You guys are doing an awesome job, and thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I love to see what Durant Family is about, and people stepping up to the plate and not only owning ministry, but serving other people with their gifts. That's what church is the body ministering to the body. And you guys are awesome, and I appreciate you so much. So, all right, I'm going to stop talking about that. Supernatural living. Are you ready? This is the part that can go on the app. So who's ever editing this, I'm starting now. All right. Supernatural living. We've been continuing a conversation on supernatural living. This is our third installment, and tonight I want to talk to you where I left off on Sunday. Raise your hand if you were here on Sunday, and you can have some context. Okay, good. My last points on Sunday were this, and it depends on which service you were at, but let me back up and tell you just what the last point should have been for all the services. Number one, that as believers, people that have called upon the name of Jesus, we all have access to the supernatural presence and power of God. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. That was a good amen. The second takeaway from the second installment of this series was that faith plus patience equals promises. Good job, Jody. Faith plus, A plus for you, bonus points. Faith plus patience, you've got two boxes of chocolate under your chair. Faith plus patience equals promises. And I didn't make that up. I know it's hard for you to believe this, but do you know there's some people that think I make up stuff? Especially when I say things that they don't agree with. They think that it's my opinion. Do you know that a lot of times it would be a lot easier for me to just go along and agree with people. But I can't do that when it's contrary to what the Word of God says. And when people get upset and I tell them, I really don't like it either. If it was up to me, we might do this situation a little bit different, but Jesus is kind of the boss, and he's smarter than us, and he made everything, and he died for us. Our lives don't even belong to us. Paul says that, our lives aren't our own. They were bought with a price, so we got to honor God in our bodies. We got to honor our spouses. We got to honor our kids. We actually have to do things the right way. And how many of you know that what God wills is much better than what you and I want? God wills certain things for us because they're things that are good for us. And I talked a little bit about Sunday, how we got to get over. A lot of us have a back of our mind suspicion about God, and it's keeping us from being able to access supernatural power and results. And it's keeping us from staying in a place of patience. A lot of us have faith in a moment, but the patience thing is the variable. But Hebrews 6:12, 13-14, that whole little, got a little commentary there on that. We need to be imitators of those who by faith and patience have inherited the promises of God. I talked a little bit about also how Jesus compared faith to a mustard seed. And he specifically picked something that was small so that we'd stop trying to figure out this thing by performance or by works. How many of you know that the size of your faith doesn't matter? Jesus can use whatever size of faith you got. You just got to have some. and to see supernatural results in our lives, to get breakthrough that we're all after at so many different levels, we need to just take the faith that we have, even if it's a little bit, and we need to plant it in the right thing, and we don't need to dig it up. And we plant it in the character of God. And how many of you know that God is good all the time? Amen. Amen. So that's what we're going to pick up, is faith and patience inherits the promises. And I'm going to talk about specifically what God has left us with to be able to aid us in this work of patience that he wills to do in our lives. I've got good news for you that even in the waiting, how many of you feel like you're in a season of waiting this evening? You know, God has given you a particular word. You know, the word of God has revealed God's will in a particular situation of your life. How many of you are having a hard time connecting the dots as far as why God says this, but this is happening? Or why I was promised this, but it hasn't arrived yet? Anybody ever had that time when they're kind of scratching their head to try to figure that out? We've all been there. I've got good news for us tonight that even in the waiting, the supernatural power of God is at work in your life. And I attribute this to kind of an akin picture to that seed being planted in the soil. How many of you know that it's not visible to these eyes? It's not visible to the carnal eyes, the miracle that's happening beneath the soil when that seed is planted. It's not visible to the carnal eye, the root system that begins to develop. How many of you know if you want a strong outer structure that you can see, your roots have to go very deep? When I say that there's a delay in the promise of God coming through, I say, don't worry, he's just connecting all the root structures in your life. What God is doing in your life is going to be so big. What God is doing in your life is going to be such a blessing to you. And because he's good and he's perfect, he's not just going to give it to you whenever you want it. He's going to make sure that a root structure has been developed so that when the winds of adversity come, you don't change your mind on it. That it's able to bear the fruit that God wills for it to bear. God's not delaying a particular thing in your life to teach you about character. Let me put it to you this way. I've had people tell me that, maybe God's not healing me of this particular sickness because he's wanting to work character in me. See, it's a wrong idea to make the word of God contradict itself. If the scripture says that God's a good and perfect father, my question is, what good and perfect parent would put sickness on their child to teach them about character? All right. In fact, Jesus summed this up. There was a group of religious people. And have you noticed there's always groups of religious people that ask you questions that are kind of annoying? But anyway, there's a group of religious people that ask Jesus about this blind man. And they say, Jesus, whose sin? Whose sin is it? Whose character flaw is it that this blind man was born blind? Is it his or is it his parents'? I love Jesus because very seldom, whenever you ask Jesus a question like that, and we've all asked Jesus questions like that if we're honest, he gives us the answer that's from the place of divine wisdom. Yes. See, we're questioning things in the natural that only have supernatural answers. And we got to hold out for supernatural answers, which will get us supernatural results. We can't reduce ourselves to bad theology. We can't reduce ourselves to opinions. Even in the waiting, we need to understand that the supernatural power of God is at work. Even in the place of not understanding, God is still for you. Even if the situation might lead you to believe that he's against you, that violates his character. God will never violate his character. He's not a hypocrite, right? So Jesus gave him a response to this question. He said, well, it's neither his sin or his parents' sin. This man is this way so that the glory of God can be revealed. An answer that comes from divine wisdom. Totally eliminated the performance issue. Somebody's failed performance. That's religious thinking. Somebody's failed performance has caused this sickness to come on this man. And Jesus said, no. This man is this way to prove that there's a real God that's able to touch real needs and do real things. The question is, where are the people that are ready to stand in real faith to activate the real power of God? That's the question. See, whenever we can't demonstrate what we believe, we settle for bad theology. I know that hurts a little bit. Hurts me sometimes. Let me back up and say it to you one more time, though, because the hurt is good. Everybody say, the hurt is good. Say, Holy Spirit, comfort me, because Zach's going to hurt me again. We create bad theology when we have a faith that we can't demonstrate. And I think for a lot of us, we've got to get rid of bad theology and we've got to say, okay, God, teach me how to have faith and patience so that I can inherit the promises. And specifically tonight, I want to talk about what God has left us in the waiting period. See, in the waiting, we experience always, guys, the temptation to replace our faith with anxiety and worry. When we're in that waiting period of time, the thing that will start knocking at the door is anxiety. Maybe this isn't for me. Maybe God won't come through. What if God comes through and it's not what I want? Maybe God comes through and it's too late. Maybe, if. And what happens is all the ifs and all the maybes actually begin to start to push away the thing that we were originally certain about. The goodness of God, His supernatural presence and power at work in our lives. And then worry also comes. Do you know the scripture says that we need to see things as though they're not, as though they are? Do you know that worry is of the enemy? Yes. Do you know how I know it? Because Jesus told you not to do it. And Jesus usually only tells you not to do things that the enemy tells you to do. It's kind of how it works. Remember I told you on Sunday, God's good, the devil's bad. Good theology right there, simple. If Jesus told you not to do it, devil's probably going to try to get you to do it. Do you know the devil's not creative? He just perverts God's good creation. All right, he's a counterfeiter. Do you know that worry is just a perversion of prophetic imagination? See, seeing things as though they're not, as though they are, is prophetic imagination that God's equipped every believer with. When you're walking through a trial in your health, you need to see yourself healed. Why? Because the scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And out of the heart flow the issues of life, flow the things of life. As soon as I get into an agreement with the lie, I empower the liar in my life. The devil will tell you that you're not just struggling with sickness, you are sick. He'll label you in that condition. And whenever you agree with that, you empower his lie in your life. And it's in that particular area now that you've cut off the ability to stand in faith. You've allowed your faith to be supplanted by anxiety or worry. And that thought didn't come overnight. That thought came because there's been a waiting period in your life. The thought came because time after time, when you expected the miracle, it didn't manifest. It came because time after time, whenever you got your hopes up, you were let down. I can tell you that the kind of faith that we have to be after as the believer, the type of faith that in some passages of the New Testament tells us is actually the faith of Jesus. How many of you know that if we're called to have the faith of Jesus, it's a faith that's not moved by circumstances in the natural? It's a faith that's like that mustard seed that once it's planted, we leave it buried and we let it grow. It's a faith that says, I'm not going to put God on a timeline. I'm going to keep my heart right in the meantime. That's the kind of faith that we're after. So what are the things that we have to do to keep our hearts right in the meantime? There's a particular thing that God has gifted us with as believers that we have exclusive access to as his children that is actually supposed to guard our hearts and our minds in the process of waiting. How many of you know it's during the waiting time that the enemy is going to come at you? And how many of you know that God doesn't leave you unequipped to be able to deal with his devices? He's given us a particular thing to combat worry and anxiety in the midst of the waiting. In the midst of a worried world, God has given us access to his peace. We're going to take a look at Philippians here and towards the end of this session, and we're going to see that it's actually God's peace that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And that's a very beautiful thing. So let's go to the next slide here. I want to talk to you about the peace of God from John chapter 14. Is everybody doing okay?
Yes.
Are you chewing?
Yes.
Okay. Are you bored or are you chewing? Because I can start yelling, spitting at you if you're bored. I'm just kidding. I won't do that. All right. It's not that kind of message tonight. John 14, 25 through 29, New King James. This is Jesus talking. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, everybody say Helper. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. How many of you are thankful for the Holy Spirit in your life? The same way that there's a Holy Spirit at work in the world, there's an unholy spirit. It's called the spirit of the Satan, the accuser. He's the one that works on your mind in the middle of the waiting, holding yourself to God's word. Here's the thing about it. I just use the physical healing example a lot because it's the first thing that comes to my mind. How many of you know it's not the only thing that we're believing God for? We're believing God for emotional restoration. Some of us are believing God for breakthrough in our marriages. Some of us are believing God for breakthrough in our finances. Some of us are believing God for a breakthrough in our anger problem or in some sort of an addiction. I'm not picking on just physical healing and people that are holding out for physical healing. You got to expand. For the sake of time, I can't give every single example, okay? But how many of you are thankful for the Holy Spirit that when the unholy spirit comes to try to supplant our faith with anxiety and worry, we have a Holy Spirit that reminds us of what Jesus has already said. We need the Holy Spirit to remind us in the middle of the times when we want to dig up the seed of faith. When we try to get into performance, and like I talked about on Sunday, buy the planter, get the expensive potting soil, you know, plant that thing, build the greenhouse, get the miracle grow, all these religious things, formulas and things that we do in the natural to try to get the seed to grow. All right. Instead of knowing that if we'll just leave that seed planted in the soil that we first received it in, that seed inside of it has everything it needs to bloom into whatever it's meant to be. It's our job to now be watered with the washing of the water of the Word. And how many of you know that the Word is not just the written Word? The Word is a person. His name is Jesus. And all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus, which is why we need relationship with the Holy Spirit to be able to remind us of the things that are true, the things that Jesus has said to us. I said it Sunday, but I'll say it again. How many of you know that one of the keys to learning is repetition? You need to hear this again. You can't show me a place in the scripture where somebody that needed a miracle came to Jesus and Jesus said, "Come back to me in 6 months when some more character has been developed in you. Come back to me in 6 months whenever you get the prayer right. There's one word of the prayer that's off. If you could get that one word changed and come back to me, I'd be happy to fix that situation for you." You see that in the scripture, the only requirement that people had to have was to recognize who Jesus was and believe that he was able to do something about their situation. I showed you that from the Canaanite woman. She called him Lord 3 times, and she said that she knew that he had the ability to heal her daughter if he chose to. You're not going to find me one time in the Gospels where Jesus decided not to do it. When people came acknowledging who he was, Lord, and acknowledging that, Lord, if you choose, I know. You hear that a lot in the text, don't you? Lord, if you choose, I know that you can do something about this situation. Oh, Lord, help me. We got to acknowledge that Jesus is who he says he is. And we got to acknowledge that still today, 2,000 years removed from his physical presence on the earth, even though his physical presence has been removed in his body, how many of you know that the thing that activated the power in his life, according to the book of Acts, was the Holy Spirit? The book of Acts tells us that Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good and curing or healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. It didn't say some. It said all. Do you understand that Jesus is God? Do you understand that he doesn't change? He is I am, the unchanging one. Jesus is the same 2,000 years ago. He's the same operating by his Holy Spirit through his body today. The problem isn't with Jesus. A lot of the times, the problem stems from us wanting to uproot the seed of faith. We got to leave it planted, and we've got to be patient about it and understand that we've got to guard our hearts. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit that brings me back into alignment with what God has said in the middle of the waiting. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you." I'm so grateful to God that gives, not based on the way that the world gives. How many of you know that the things that the world gives you will eventually perish? How many of you know that the things that the world gives, sometimes they give because they're manipulated or they feel pressured or obligated? Sometimes they give and it's not always the best quality. Anybody ever bought a car before that looked okay on the outside, but on the inside it wasn't so good? That's the way the world gives. I got news for you. The peace that God gives you, you can take that check to the bank and cash it. He's good. He's good for the peace that he gives you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. The temptation is when Jesus says a thing and then we perceive, keywords perceive, an absence of him in a certain area of our life, the temptation is for our hearts to be troubled. When Jesus says that by his stripes that you're healed, but they're perceived, you're perceiving a delay in his presence because you're not healed, how many of you know it's during that delay that you have the potential for your heart to become troubled? Jesus says, don't do that because I've told you a particular thing. You've heard me said, I'm going away and coming back to you. How many of you know that what God's word is sent forth, the book of Isaiah tells us that it will accomplish what it was set out to do. It won't come back to him void. God's good to his word. We need to be good to our faith. All right. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I'm going to the Father. And he's talking about him dying and ascending. For my Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe. We're going to look at this in just a second in verse 29. I want you to see this particular passage here. Next one, please. In verses 25 through 27, we see that Jesus' peace is not of this world. But just because it's not of this world doesn't mean it's not logical. Do you know that God created logic? He just didn't create carnal logic or carnal thinking. Let me talk to you about the peace of God and why it is logical. It's just based on heavenly wisdom. I'm going to do it to you in the way that they teach you logic in the structures of higher education. They teach you logic in school by if-then sentences. If this happens, then this will happen. Okay? How many of you know that God's not the God of confusion or chaos? He's the God of order and peace. There is a logic to why God says a particular thing, but it takes a renewed mind because it's a godly kind of logic. It's a heavenly wisdom. All right? God never said he wanted to remove your mind. He said he wanted to renew your mind. A lot of people become Christians and they think it's mind removal. No, it's mind renewal. You're still supposed to have it. It's just supposed to run on a new processing system. You need an upgrade. 2.0. All right? New life 0.0. So, well, I'm not going to get all caught up in what I think. I get what you mean by that. We're not going to be swayed by human reasoning. But how many of you know that if we're going to see heaven's kind of results, we've got to think from heaven's perspective? All right? It's logical, the peace of God. I'll prove it to you. If the all-knowing, all-powerful being that's created the entire universe, that's conquered hell, death, and the grave, has made a decision to be with you, then you have nothing to worry about. Amen. See, that's the response. If the most powerful being in the universe has made a decision to be with you, you know that word with there doesn't just imply proximity and geography. That word with implies he's for you. What you want to see come to pass in the healing of your body, he does too. As long as it aligns with his will, he wants it to come to pass. Because what he wills is better than what you want. God wills healing. He wills for that to come to pass in your body. All right? Peace comes from understanding that if God is with me, then who or what can stand against me? Supernatural peace comes from the revelation that if Christ is with me, I've got the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-creating being who's able to move on my behalf. Then I've got nothing to worry about. See, logical is just a heavenly kind of wisdom. I want to take a look at verse 29, and this is an understanding that God's peace is connected to his promise. Notice that Jesus said, I've told you these things, pretty much so, that once they happen, you'll believe it. All right? He gave them a promise. I'm telling you all these things before they happen. That's called a promise. All right? If I promise my wife I'll be home by 6:30, at 1 o'clock, that's prior to 6:30, correct? When I show up at 6:30, what does that mean? I fulfilled the promise. All right? Notice that God wills to heal you, all right, but sometimes he doesn't give you the exact time. I will to heal you at 6:30. If God didn't show up at 6:30, he'd be a promise breaker. All right? God doesn't will that, because to be honest with you, the timing isn't up to him. It's up to us. Okay, anyway, I'll just keep going here because we're not ready for that. God says things before he does them to build trust and expectancy. God tells you a thing before he does it so that when he comes through, you'll trust. And once he comes through once, you'll expect it again. God tells you things before they happen so that when you actually mix faith with the word of God and get unbelief out, because at the end of the day, the only thing that's hindering breakthrough in our life is unbelief. And that comes from, and that's not, see, that's the thing. It's hard for me to say, I know, but I got to tell you the truth. Because there's all different kinds of forms of unbelief. I'm not talking about that you have this construct that God really doesn't heal. I'm talking about there's times in our lives where we put more stock in our worry and our anxiety than our faith. And that's okay. That's totally okay. It's natural, but it's not truthful. That's why we need people in love to tell us, okay, I know you got shook in that situation, and I know that you're shook up because we didn't see that result that we wanted. Let me mix faith with you. See, a lot of the times, I told you that the timing's up to us, right? But I don't mean that exclusively. Notice I used us, it's plural. Sometimes it takes people to get outside of their comfort zone and say, I'm actually going to mix faith with you. Instead of trying to do the religious thing and discern what hidden sins in their life, or maybe we need to do this, or let's let go of that thing that you agreed to 5 years ago, and we'll take you through all these 17 steps to better you. What if we just as brothers and sisters come along and said, you know what, brother, sister, I don't have any idea why there's not breakthrough in that situation, but what I do know is that us together is better than you by yourself. I'm just going to mix faith with you. I'm just going to stand with you. I'm not going to try to diagnose you. I'm not going to try to figure out. That's religion. That's performance. If the only requirement from the scripture is that we believe that Jesus is who he says he is and believe that he has the ability to do what he says that he'll do, then anything else than that is religious, not based on relationship. Well, you got to let go of this and you got to let go of that and you got to do this and you got to do that. No, that's not how this happens. That's not how this happens. Sometimes things aren't manifesting because going back to our first message, we're not operating as family. Sometimes it requires, I love whenever Nehemiah built the wall. When Nehemiah organized the constructing of the wall, he did it in such a way that everybody that was building had a protector that stood behind them because there was enemy attack. And while they were going through the process of rebuilding their life, there was somebody standing behind them with a spear and a shield. My question is, things aren't manifesting in our lives because we're not willing a lot of the time to come alongside a brother or sister that's struggling and say, I'm not going to be shit, because we don't have confidence in our own faith. If I come alongside you and it doesn't manifest in the next 3 days, I'm going to get shook and then now I'm going to question. We've got to be stronger than that. We've got to say, I'm here for the long haul with you. I'm here to walk out the process with you. I don't care how long it takes. I'm standing with you back to back. And while you're co-laboring with God in the real building of your life, I've got your back. That's what family does for each other. Not gets into all these religious systems about why it's not manifesting. Maybe it's not manifesting because you're too busy picking your brother and sister apart, not standing in the gap with them. Maybe that's why it's not manifesting. Okay. I got excited. I've got a soapbox about those things. Because that's supernatural. What supernatural is, I'm going to cover you while we're dealing with this situation. Not look at a distance and give a crop dusting prayer. I'm throwing it your way, just out there. No, I'm going to come alongside you. I don't have all the answers either, but what I do know is you've got faith in God. And I know that we will not be denied. Those that hope and trust in the Lord will not be disappointed. I don't care how long it takes. I'm here. When you need to sleep, I'll stand watch. Amen. And when you need to switch because your hands are tired, I'll help build part of the wall. We can swap out. Amen. That's what gets things done. It's not, the timeline's not up to God. Guys, the timeline a lot of time is up to us and the willingness for us to connect with each other and mix faith with each other and step out in the gifts that God's called us to step out in. Some of you have a gift of healing locked up on the inside of you, and because of insecurity and fear of man, you're literally withholding other people from their miracle. How do you activate His peace in your life? Let's move on. Bless God. How do you activate His peace in your life? See, we've got to have this peace that Philippians talks about. Is this making sense to anybody? Yeah. Let's just take a minute and praise God. Father, we thank You for speaking to us tonight. Lord, I pray that we would expand our hearts. Everybody just say expand. Father, we pray that You'd expand our hearts to be able to receive Your truth. Lord, that we will be there for our brother or sister when they're struggling, that we will commit to walk out the journey with each other, that breakthrough and healing, God, a lot of times isn't a destination, it's a journey. And Father, I pray that we be well equipped for the journey, that we would be strong in faith when our brother or sister is lacking. Father, that we wouldn't operate in criticism or in suspicion or in any religiosity, but Father, in family, we would just stand in the gap for one another until we see what we're going after. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Philippians 4:6-9. I got 4 minutes. Praise God, I'm doing good. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. I told Chaz, the children's pastor, I'd be done in 45 minutes. I'm going to beat it. I'm going to be done in 35. Take that, Chaz. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. He's going to listen to this message. That's why I got to do that. With thanksgiving. All right, well, I threw myself off. All right, right here. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. You don't get to pick what parts of the Bible you want to obey. Yeah, God, but this part's hard. You think? How long have you walked with Jesus? Here's the thing. Get that suspicion out of your mind. God never asks you to do something He's not willing to help you with. That's what the world's shown you. How many of you have been hurt by people? Yeah, have you ever had anybody point out a flaw to you not willing to help you walk through it? That drives me nuts is when people will present a problem without a solution. It's like, yeah, genius, I know. That is a problem. I know that's a problem. What are we going to do about it? Well, I don't have any earthly idea. Well, let's figure it out, bless God. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. By prayer and supplication. What have you got to replace anxiety with? With? I taught you a while ago that thanksgiving is the doorway to interact with the manifest presence of God. Do an exercise right now. Everybody close your eyes. I'm about to come down there because I get you guys stirred up. You guys are the real Christians tonight. You came on Valentine's Day. You could have been out whining and dining at Cheesecake Factory, but you are here. And we're having much better food tonight than Cheesecake Factory because it's zero calorie. Praise God. Amen. And it tastes good. That is supernatural. Only God can give you that food. Yes, absolutely. Amen. So here's the thing about it that I want to encourage you with. Everybody close your eyes for a second. We're going to engage in this exercise. I want you to say a few things after me, and then we're going to stop, and then you're going to do it your own way, okay? I want you to let go of whatever you're thinking about, and I want you to picture yourself looking at Jesus, whatever that means to you. And I want you to see all your mistakes, everything that you've done wrong, all the ways that you'd never be able to measure up, all the ways that you'd never be able to correct on your own. And I want you to see that beautiful smile on His face. And I want you to hear Him say, I know that you couldn't do it, so I did. And I want you to see His nail-scarred hands. And I want you to see His side, His pierced side. I want you to see His face that's still smiling. And say, I did this for you so that you could have access to my peace. So that you don't have your hearts troubled. I have overcome the world. And right now, I want you to say this, thank you. Out loud, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your peace. You're beautiful. You're good in every situation. I worship you. Just take a few seconds of just thanking God in your own way. Whatever that means for you. That's a silent prayer. If that's a silent whisper, Jesus, you don't have to come, but you always do. And when you show up, the whole room changes. When you show up, everything in our life, they don't take on rose-colored glasses like some kind of juvenile denial. You reorient us. You reorient us in these moments to the proper perception of reality, the one in which you reign supreme. We love you. Amen. Now prove to me that thanksgiving doesn't lead into the manifest presence of God. What shifted? What changed? Raise your hand if you felt the shift or the change in your life. Every time. That's why. Isn't that a lot better than being anxious? Whenever you're anxious, you do what I just taught you to do. And you won't be anxious anymore. You won't be able to be. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, check, we did that. With thanksgiving, check, we did that. Let your requests be made known to God. Okay? Let's do that. Go back to that place of prayer. What's your request for Him? Go ahead. What that place of prayer is for you. I'll do it with you. We're praying now. What's that request that you have of Him? Father, Lord Jesus, I need you to touch my body. Lord Jesus, I believe I need you to touch my marriage. I need you to give me wisdom. I need you to give me courage. Whatever it might be, I want you to just ask Him right now. You know what it is. You got 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. You stay in that place of prayer. I'm going to read the rest to you. May let your request be known to God. Check. And the peace of God, the shalom of God, the healing and wholeness, the completeness, that enveloping presence that's like that warm blanket over your life, which surpasses all understanding. See, in the middle of some of the situations that you might be facing, it surpasses understanding to have the kind of peace that's on you right now. It surpasses all understanding. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. Next slide. Some of you need to just stay in that place of prayer. Next slide, please. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. See, after the prayer, we did the prayer. I led you through that. After the prayer, you got to now engage in correct thinking. What's correct thinking? Here's the test, all right? You replaced anxiety with supplication and prayer and thanksgiving. You made your requests known to God. Now what do you do? You see the good report. You think on the lovely thing. You don't see yourself dying before your time. You don't see yourself leaving your family lost and broke. You don't see your kid going into a devil's hell. You don't see your marriage falling apart. You choose in that place and time to not just reorient your feelings. We did that. Now we got to reorient our thinking. So what are some of the takeaways from Philippians? Well, this is the thing we've got to do if we really want to abide in the peace of God. Ah, oh, Chaz, you're listening to this. I went too long. All right. Number one. If you're taking any notes, you need to write these. I'm going to give you 5 things. I'm telling you, these 5 things come from my life. These are things that I engage in almost every single day. And I guarantee you that this will be a blessing to you if you will purpose in your heart to do these things. All right? Amen?
Amen.
All right. Can I have, it's 7:40. Can I have like 3 minutes? To finish. All right, good. I know it's Valentine's, but you're already here, so you're stuck with me. I told you I was your Valentine. Number one, and these two, I borrowed this from a guy named Bill Johnson. I modified this one from A.W. Tozier. These are 2 guys that have spoken into my life, and these are things that I've made part of my life. Number one, you've got to make a decision to become more convinced of the beauty of tomorrow than the difficulty of today. I've walked through some rough seasons in my life. One of the rough seasons that I walked through, I made a decision to make the lock screen on my phone this quote. So every time I had to answer an email, every time I had to answer a text, how many of you see your phone way more than you would like to? I know I do. I had to before I could even go. And if you're me, a lot of times the source of anxiety are the emails and the text messages. So I needed to be able to see something before I went there. I needed something to capture my attention. I had this quote on my phone for months. And every time I would see it, I would make a decision to see things as though, what's the thing I'm trying to say? Say it for me. I made a decision to see things that aren't as though they are. Thank you. That aren't as though they are. Every time I read this, if you're going to abide in the peace of God, if you're going to allow the peace of God to guard your heart and your minds in this waiting time, in this time when the seed is planted, you've got to make a decision to become more convinced of the beauty of tomorrow than the difficulty of today. I got news for you. The night is not forever. The morning is coming. All right? Number two, you got to make the stand that whatever is happening to you, so this is the decision that you've got to make. You've got to make the stand that whatever is happening to you will result. So you got to decide your result. You know you've given authority by Jesus to decide your outcome. Make the stand that whatever is happening to you will only result in you becoming more Christ-like. I make the decision that once I come out the other side of this thing, I'm going to shine more with the glory light of Jesus. That's what's going to happen. That's what I decide, a purpose in my heart. As I think in my heart, so am I. Guess what? Every situation I've gone through that the devil's tried to take me out, I've come out more filled with the fire of God. Every single time. Every time. Every single time. Because I made this decision. You got to make this decision. Third thing, you've got to give often, often, sacrifices of thanks, praise, and prayer. Often. I said that already. Give sacrifices of thanks, praise, and prayer often. Why do I say sacrifices? Because when you're going through struggle and you're in the middle of the waiting time, the meantime, the waiting is always the most painful part, guys. All right? When you're going through that time, praise is a sacrifice. Prayer is a sacrifice. Thanks is a sacrifice. You got to give them often. And you've got to live impressed by the promise instead of the problem. Most people live impressed by their problems. And whatever you live impressed by will impress itself onto you. Whatever you live impressed by will literally impress and imprint itself onto you. Live impressed by the promise instead of the problem. And five, this is so important. You got to safely make a decision to rest in His goodness. He is as good as He says He is. He is as beautiful as people testify of Him to be. He is as kind. He is as lovely. He is as generous. He is as powerful as you hear people testify of Him to be. When you make a decision to lie down into that, you'll no longer fall for the tricks of the enemy. Amen. Make a decision to lie down in the goodness of God, and the enemy will never, ever be able to trip you up again. Amen. I'm not changing my mind that He's good. These five things incorporated into your life, I totally believe, will create in you the ability to abide in the peace of God. Amen. And I pulled all these things out of that Philippians 4 passage, all right? Amen. In one way, shape, or form. Did you get anything tonight? Amen.